Good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And of course, this is the 13th day of May, and Jim Dozer Adams in with us.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good. Hey, I tell you what, 60 degrees.
And foggy.
Foggy. Really foggy.
Yeah, all the usual low-lying areas, I'm sure, are pretty foggy, but just look at downtown.
Yeah.
It's pretty thick. So just be looking. School buses and the sanitation trucks are out.
That's right. So make sure to be careful. And, of course, now I know this morning when I was coming in from Todd County, I didn't have a lot of issues with fog, but I think it was starting to kind of get a little thicker as the morning went along. So, like I said, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, what do you got for us this morning?
Well, I guess the thing is really big news right now is it's for our Roman Catholic listeners. We've got a new pope. I'm not a Roman, but they have a new pope.
Okay.
And I think this one's actually going to be a Roman Catholic. I realize not being one, I would probably might be a little bit out of line here, but it just seems to me if you're going to be the pope, you ought to be pretty, strong on the standard doctrine of the church.
Yeah.
And I'm just not too sure about this last guy.
Okay.
So I think, but it's interesting. I was watching Newsmax and found out so was the Pope's brother. That he was sitting by either in his recliner or in bed watching TV, and that's when he found out that his brother was a new pope. He said it was a good thing I was lying down because I would have fallen out probably.
Fallen out, huh?
But that was
my goodness.
That was just kind of neat to find out that way. But Gary Bauer put out a couple of things. They've been watching this real closely, and he said there's several things about the former Cardinal Robert Prevost, who is now the Pope Leo the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And not someday I'm going to try to chase down why they change the names.
Yeah, I'm
just curious.
I mean, it's
no biggie,
yeah.
But it's just curious. But anyway, he has rejected this gender ideology business. He said it's inconsistent with God's creation. In other words, male and female created them. He's firm on that. Appears he's much more conservative than Pope Francis was on other LGBT issues and strongly pro-life. And according to Charlie Kirk, he's a registered Republican. And voting Republican primaries, I don't think that's really going to be an endorsement from this point on. and they said this is interesting. He gave his first mass as Pope partially in Latin. And a lot of young traditionalists have been pushing for return to some of the Latin mm-hmm. on that thing, which is, mm-hmm. again, that's an issue within the Roman Catholic Church. But you need to know it. And they said it's interesting, Gary Bauer points out, young traditionalists are opposing the trend toward liberalism in so many areas.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of neat. Let's see what else we got from Gary Bauer here. Oh yeah, Congress can't seem to decide whether or not women should have men playing in their sports.
Oh really?
It should be pretty obvious.
Should be really obvious.
But they're saying that keeping men out of women's sports, some of them, is like keeping black people out of white country clubs or schools and businesses, which used to happen a lot.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, that's called invidious discrimination, if you want a big term for it.
Uh-huh.
But it's sort of like saying an all-white NBA basketball team was because they turned down black athletes. That would be invidious discrimination.
Yes, it would.
But if somebody sued an NBA team because they didn't have a player in a wheelchair, because they were discriminating against individuals with disabilities, folks would say that's crazy, because that's a distinction based on reality. Hello, reality.
Oh, hello.
Male and female created he, them.
Yeah.
Men and women are different.
Well.
Yeah.
Glad
so
to know
a man
that.
Is physically larger and stronger, by and large, and he shouldn't be playing in women's sports. If a woman in the WNBA, whose average age is 27, went back to high school to get a diploma and demanded to play on the high school girls' team, they probably wouldn't let that happen either.
Mm-mm.
Charles Barkley went back there and for some reason wanted to be on the junior high school team. I don't think they'd let him.
Don't believe so.
He had to be careful with that bad knee. But
Yeah.
Anyway, so just a lot of silly stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's see what else we have. Gary Bauer puts out this little daily thing or just bits and pieces. Yeah, some good news there. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Noem came out there about this Abrego Garcia, who they said, we want him back. You turn, like this district judge from somewhere mm-hmm. nobody ever heard of said, turn the plane around and bring him back. I command you. And they say, you really can't do that. There's an area called Point of No Return.
Yeah.
Where you're over halfway and you got to go on.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Homeland Security Secretary says this, Abrego Garcia is a citizen of El Salvador and should never have been in this country and will not be coming back to this country. There is no scenario where Abrego Garcia will be in the United States again. If he were to come back, we would immediately deport him again because he is a terrorist, a human smuggler, and he is a wife beater.
Mm.
That's a good reason.
Good reason.
Yeah, and there's another crazy one that's coming up too, but let's take a break right now. We'll come back and I'll...
If you've tried to listen to the old app for Missionary Radio on your iPhone, you may have noticed it's not there. Missionary Radio now has a new app available for iPhone and Android users. It's click and easy to download. For iPhone users, go to the App Store and enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be ready to install it. For Android users, go to Google Play, enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be set to install it. Once you've installed the new Missionary Radio app, we encourage you to share it with a friend. Invite your church family to download our new app. You will help us promote the station while at the same time share the gospel too. This reminder, the old app is gone, but we have a new app available for Apple and Android users. The keywords are Missionary Radio for the download. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio. Online at missionary.radio and your free app.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
And once again, good morning to you. And of course, this is the Front Porch on Tuesday. Jim Dozier Adams.
Yeah, that new app, by the way, is real handy. Babe. We're big friends of Dr. Cook in the morning.
Yeah.
And our Sunday school class was on a retreat in Pigeon Forge we do every year.
Yeah.
And so we get up in the morning and we crack on there, hear Dr. Cook and Dr. Lutcher and get us started off on the right way. So it's,
there you go.
It's a very handy one. Okay, I'm going to have some good news. These are just some things that are happening. Current administration is protecting our children from radical teachers who are socially transitioning children without parental notification. In other words, they got children that they're identifying as something else, hopefully not anymore as kittens, but coming out with some legislation to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some groups that were challenging Alabama's law protecting children from mutilating transgender surgeries, and they just dropped their case because Alabama's attorney general forced discovery. That's when we got to show us the proof,
mm-hmm.
show us the beef. He demanded proof of the evidence-based science that justifies such radical standards of care, so-called, and it doesn't exist, and so the groups beat a hasty retreat. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte signed legislation protecting pro-life pregnancy resource centers from being forced to promote abortion in any way. They've tried to get legislation in several states that say if you're a pregnancy crisis pregnancy center, you have to be also tell folks whether they can go have an abortion or where they can be referred to and such as that. And
sure, sure.
Governor of Montana says, not in my state. North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong signed legislation protecting parental rights, protecting another state, protecting children from radical teachers, socially transitioning them in school. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed school choice legislation into law. So you got that. One of the things that is really, really sad is stuff going on within the educational system that parents don't know about.
That's it.
Is it going on here? I don't know. I don't have children in the school system. My grandkids are all in other states.
Yeah.
But just keep saying this. Find out what's going on in your schools. Find out what's being taught.
Yes.
Find out if in your school you've got a teacher or so, or, for example, that's saying, you don't tell your parents we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got a school system. Well, you may not opt your child out of this radical class lesson.
And I guess, Jim, if you want to find out, you know, what's going on in your school, I guess go to your board of education, I guess.
You can go there and sit in on their meetings.
And find out what's going on. I know back a year or so ago, they had some instance of some things they showed in the classroom on a movie, and some of our young men sat out of the movie because of it had some sexual stuff in it, some nudity, and they opted to step out. They didn't want to be a part of that. And I commend our young men for doing that, but. You know, what happened to having consent forms? I remember when I was in school, we had consent forms.
We're
going to show a certain movie, and there might be some, is it all right for your child to watch this or do this?
Yeah, or go on a field trip or something like that.
Or go on a field trip, you have a consent form, but nowadays it's just, let it go. So.
Yeah. You got to find out what's going on.
We do. Really do.
Okay. Now let's try this one. Disney Company. Now, you know, I'm not a big fan of Disney. I keep saying douse the mouse. It's not what it used to be.
No. You watch
the old stuff like that. That's great. That's enjoyable. It's clean. It's fun. But now they have openly said they're promoting LGBT plus Q stuff and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're doing something. They are going to start a theme park in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
The United Arab Emirates area. And that's really strange. They say it's, you know, from a business standpoint, it's curious. It's a location that's within 4 hours of a whole lot of Europe and parts of Asia where folks could fly in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's, you know, the business is what they call foot traffic driven by people who come there and walk around and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Disney is very outspoken with their political wokeness, to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
They've landed on the wrong side of LGBTQ plus debate. They made it clear when former CEO, abandoned the company's, you know, political neutral stance and championed the Rainbow Mafia, so-called. And the current CEO wants to return to a more politically neutral stance, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're making this move to Abu Dhabi, and the LGBTQ plus position is not welcome in the Middle East because the United Arab Emirates, including Abu Dhabi, are Islamic. And according to the teaching of Islam, practicing the homosexual lifestyle is illegal, and the punishment is execution. In some areas, they catch a homosexual, they get on the top of a building, tie them to a chair, and push them off.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to have a theme park in a country where gay people can be beheaded. I think it's really time that, keep saying douse the mouse.
Yeah, that's
douse
crazy.
The mouse. They are not what they used to be. I know, you know, Christian families think it's wonderful to take the kids down to the Disney World, and I tell them don't do it in June because that's Gay Pride Month, and they may see stuff that you don't want.
Well, we've
warned them about that. They know that's wrong. You don't need to see it.
I was talking to somebody the other day about Disneyland, Disney World. And I think it was like one of the princesses came out and said that, you know, you could tell that this princess had a 5 o'clock shadow, you know. And I said, that's pretty bad.
If that wasn't true, it would be much funnier.
I mean, you know, that's sad. I'm sitting here going, a princess. Yeah. I said, it's crazy. But
so, yeah. I identify as a girl. I said, not very well, you don't.
No, if you got a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
No.
But one of the articles I'm reading talks about the, Gary Bauer's comment. You know, Disney seems not to care about its audience anymore. It's just trying to educate them on woke perspective. And so they've had flop after flop after flop after flop after flop with their films, losing money, losing money, losing money. And they think, well, we're going to do Abu Dhabi. That'll get us some of our money back. But they're going to have to change their stance on that issue if they're going to be in a Muslim country. Well, what happens here? We have been called in the past a Christian country, not because everybody's a Christian, but because our overall governing principles were based in the Bible and biblically defensible. And now we're as a nation, are rejecting that.
Yes.
And there are churches and denominations that are rejecting that.
Yes.
And it's... you know, there's going to be an accountability for that at some point, and my contention has been for decades that with a lot of the things that many people say it's going to bring down God's judgment, you know, they haven't read Romans 1. That is God's judgment.
Yes.
It is active in our country in our country today.
Yes.
And, you know, the answer to that is to get back to biblical principles. They don't hurt. They won't hurt you.
Yeah, that's right.
They won't hurt you. They'll make things better. Anyway, let's jump in a little early on Pen from the Heart today to make up for all those times when I talk too long.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, I appreciate Missionary Radio and all the staff and volunteers. You bless and encourage me every day. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you and supply every need. From Fort Campbell, thank you for your tireless efforts. There is a constant inflow of new soldiers to reach on Fort Campbell, and Missionary Radio is making a difference here. From a Clarksville listener, I continue to enjoy the programs and have ever since you started the station. God bless.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Indeed. This morning, I mentioned, you know, we like to listen to Dr. Cook and Dr. Lutzer.
Yes.
Now, I'll have to admit, this morning, I kind of nodded off, so I kind of blended them together a little bit.
Oh, really?
But one of the things that struck me was, I believe Dr. Cook was talking about Jesus saying, I came not to bring peace, but a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just read in the J.C. Ryle devotional something along that same line. So we're going to kind of go with that and chat about it a little bit.
Okay.
John 10, verses 14 through 21, please, sir.
I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of the one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
Mm-hmm. So right away we start an illustration of a division. And some other, J.C. Ryle writes, that we should notice in this passage what strifes and controversies, or I should say controversies, since that's the British pronunciation, but I'm not going to do that except I just did. Anyway, strifes and controversies that our Lord occasioned when he was on earth.
Mm-hmm.
We read, there was a division among the Jews for his sayings. Many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Others took the opposite view. Some believed and some didn't, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It may seem strange at first sight that he who came to preach peace between God and man should be the cause of contention. But here were his own words literally fulfilled from Matthew 10:34: I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now you stop and look at that. It is puzzling. Mm-hmm. Ryle goes on. The fault was not in Christ or his doctrine, but in the carnal mind of his Jewish hearers. Let us never be surprised if we see the same thing in our own day. Human nature never changes. So long as the heart of man is without grace, so long must we expect to see it dislike the gospel of Christ. People say, that's too exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't let everybody in. That's right, mm-hmm. It doesn't let everybody in.
That's right. That's
sheep
right.
And goats, wheat and tares. You know.
Yep, yep.
And but the fault, again, is not in the doctrine of Christ and the truth, but in the mind of the hearers, Jewish hearers back then and everybody else now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like oil and water, he writes, acids and alkalis cannot combine, so in the same way, unconverted people cannot really like the people of God.
You think you're so smart. You think you're better than me.
No, I wish I were, but I'm probably not.
That's right. You know, a lot of lost people out there will say, you know, if they see, you know, maybe a saying on a vehicle or something, so you think you're better than me? No, I'm not better than you. Not at all.
No, we're both bad.
We're both bad.
Okay, he goes on. The carnal mind is enmity against God, that's Romans 8. The natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2. The servant of Christ must think it no strange thing if he goes through the same experience as his master. He will often find his ways and opinions and religion the cause of strife in his own family. He will have to endure ridicule, hard words, and petty persecution from the children of this world. He may even discover he's thought a fool or a madman on account of his Christianity. Let none of these things move him. The thought that he is a partaker of the afflictions of Christ ought to steel him against every trial. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? That's also in Matthew 10. One thing at any rate, he writes, should never be forgotten. We must not allow ourselves to think the worse of religion because of the strifes and dissension to which it gives rise. And by religion, Bishop Ryle means Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever men may please to say, it is human nature and not religion which is to blame. So remember, it won't always be a smooth road. Now, you can take that to an extreme and some say, well, if you're not being persecuted, you're not really a believer. You better check yourself out. No, you don't go out looking for a fight. Mm-hmm. And it points out, and Paul points out, that if you're being persecuted because you did something and you had it coming, my paraphrase, then don't be surprised.
Yep.
But when you've done nothing wrong and they're coming after you, then that's the persecution for the cause of Christ.
That's persecution, yes.
So sometimes we're not being persecuted, we're being prosecuted because we're, you know, the mm-hmm. pain.
That's right.
Meditation makes a comment from, this is from the guy that put this together. He said, our Lord divides humanity not for just time but for eternity. Are you with him or against him? Now, that's scary. Got a friend that says, well, I'm just an agnostic. Mm-hmm. You know what an agnostic is? Someone says, I don't know. I guess I'll just wait till I die and see if I wake up in hell.
Mm.
Basically, that's what it is.
That's a bad way to look at it.
I think I'll just go away and won't, nothing happens. I'll just go out and that's it. And as a friend of mine said, well, what are you going to do when the lights come back on?
Mm.
But that's what, and you say, well, I'm just going to wait till I die and find out.
Wow.
Now, I've known Christians that were so insecure and they didn't want to be, you know, arrogant and say, well, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, yeah. We're told in Scripture that the Scriptures are written so that we may know that we have eternal life.
That's right.
Or not, as the case may
That's
be.
That's right.
But to sit and say, I'll just wait and see. I'll just wait and see. I don't believe, I'm not sure there's anything to that. I don't want to commit. I don't want to, I might have to change something.
Yeah.
Hey, if you turn the light, anything you change, you know, he's going to want you to change. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will, you know, give you a list of rules. Now you got to quit doing this and start doing this and start doing this and stop doing this. Well, just some of those are good ideas.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what you do and don't do isn't what saves you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you.
That's right.
And
I'm a firm believer, Jim, that I think that, you know, once you give your life to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the Lord's going to tell you what you're doing wrong.
And he'll deal with it in the order that it needs to be dealt with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do people need to tell you? I don't think so. I really don't. I think that's left up between Jesus and the individual as he works it out with each one. I mean, I know, you know, after I gave my life to Jesus, I still listened to worldly music, okay? I liked hard rock music. That was one of my favorite types of music. And when the Lord spoke to me and told me to lay it down, I laid it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have to have anybody tell me that I was listening to the wrong type of music in my life. The Lord told me.
Yeah.
You know, and that might not be your conviction. Your conviction might be totally something different. You know, but I really believe that the Lord will tell you what you're doing wrong and he'll correct it. You know.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, sometimes you'll have to give something up for a while.
Yeah.
And then you can get me. You can get back in some of that in a little bit. But again, you'll go back in with a different set of eyeballs. You'll watch for stuff, say, whoops.
Sure.
Horrible example. I had a fellow I knew, and he got busted for child pornography.
Yes.
And he did some time, and he was compliant, and he said he was watching the in his house, in his little trailer.
Yeah.
He had a video, and he was watching it of the movie Good Morning Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly he looked and realized in the background there was a water fountain, and there were a bunch of kids playing in the background, and they were naked.
Yeah.
He said, I can't watch that. He stopped it right then, took it out, and threw it in the trash.
Mm.
So, you know, it was okay to watch the video, but but it had something in it that he said, I can't have that.
Yeah, I can't have that.
He can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said he just...
Yeah.
He said, I never touched a child, never harmed a child. But I could see the potential would be there at some point if I didn't straighten out.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it was okay to go back and watch a movie, but you have to watch what you're doing. But for a while, I mean, they just stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do something else.
That's it.
And then maybe a little. I like old musicals, old westerns, things like that.
Yeah.
And good science fiction back when they used to make some, they don't make much anymore. But you got to be careful with it.
You do.
Next thing you know, you'll be doing all of that instead of doing your Bible reading.
That's right. That's right.
Or you'll be talking when it's almost time for Johnny.
Well, it's almost time. But okay. we can go ahead and get into it.
Okay. Well, see, let's do that because I want to go to Dr. James Montgomery Boyce.
Okay.
He had something really interesting that I want to kind of tie in as well today.
All right. Sounds good. Here's Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Hi, I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, with a beautiful story from Johnny.
When I relax, my heart gravitates to this beautiful old hymn. I don't think you'll know the words. It's pretty unfamiliar, but you'll love the melody. My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless, shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? Isn't that beautiful? And it reminds me of a beautiful story, a story I heard years ago. Someone wrote of sitting one winter evening by an open wood fire and listening to the singing of the green logs as the fire crackled and danced. All manner of sounds came out of the wood as it burned, and the writer, with poetic imagination, suggested that the sounds were imprisoned songs that had long slept in silence inside the wood, that is, until now, when they had been released by the fire. When the tree stood in the forest, birds came and sat on its limbs and branches singing. The wind also breathed through the branches, making a lonely, strange music. At another time, a child sat on the moss by the trunk of the tree, singing a happy tune. At one point, a penitent thief sat under the shade of the tree and with trembling tones sang his confession. And all of these different musical notes sank into the tree as it stood there, each song hiding away deep beneath the bark. There the songs slept until the tree was cut down, and part of that tree became the backlogs in the cheerful evening fire. It was only then that the songs were released. How so? It was the heat of the flames that brought out the beautiful music. Now, that's a fanciful story. It's all make-believe, but I think this little tale is a wonderful parable because life has its various notes and tones, doesn't it? Some are happy and some are choked in tears. Years sometimes pass and life gives out no music. There are no songs to bless others, but then maybe a deep grief comes, a season of terrible pain and disappointment. And in the heat of those flames, the long imprisoned music is set free. And the wounded soul sings its praise to God. It sings songs that bless others. Many tones and notes are stored away in the summer of the heart. But in the winter hours of fiery trials, the heart sings songs late into the night, songs released by the fire. You know, the book of Isaiah is a prophetic book that gives words of hope to wounded, broken hearts. Isaiah was written during a long season of winter when God's people were led away into captivity. But during that long time of hot, fiery trial, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 30 writes three simple words, quote, "You will sing." And it's why I just sang that obscure hymn a moment ago. It's a beautiful hymn I once found in the midst of a very hard season of trials in my life. So friend, no matter what trial you are facing, God has a song for you to sing. Sing your way through suffering, would you? Whether a hymn, a scripture song, or maybe a song that's been long hidden away, like the one I just shared. Whichever, may the fire of your trial release your song in your night of trial.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 116:2, "Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live." A hospital chaplain visited a delightful old lady in the hospital. As he approached her bed, he noticed that with the index finger of one hand, she was touching one by one the fingers of the other with her eyes closed. She went on to explain, I hold my hand like this, my thumb towards me. That reminds me to pray for the person nearest to me. Then there's my pointing finger, so I pray for those who point the way to others, teacher, leaders, parents. The next finger is the biggest, so I pray for those in high places. After that comes the weakest finger. Look, it won't stand by itself, so I pray for the sick and the lonely and the afraid. And this little one, well, last of all, I pray for myself.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Okay, I'm going to go to James Montgomery Boyce's devotional book. That's put by the one. It's called, I'll tell you in a minute what it's called, Come to the Waters.
Okay.
And it just had, I don't know if it got me started on this when I saw this one from a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But... well, I'll get to this later. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 6 verses, please, sir.
All righty. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that they were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning I have declared it to you, before it came to pass. I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them. And my carved image and my molded image have commanded them. You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them.
Okay, this is from Isaiah. Key verse, a form of things I declared of old, long before. So Boyce writes, the Old Testament records numerous prophecies that were shown to be fulfilled in later history, including those about the coming of the Messiah. In considering future prophecies, we need to take notice of three conclusions. First, if such prophecies have been fulfilled, as the Bible and history reveal them to have been fulfilled, then the God of the Bible is the true God, and we should worship him. This is the conclusion that must be reached if we take God's own challenge through the prophet Isaiah seriously. Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proofs, says the king of Jacob. Let them bring them and tell us what is to happen. Tell us the former things, what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome or declare the things to come. Tell us what is to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. In other words, this is sarcasm all over.
Mm-hmm.
Boyce continues, second, if these prophecies have been fulfilled, as we know them to have been fulfilled, then the Bible is a supernaturally trustworthy and totally authoritative book. God himself stands behind this book. It follows that we can trust the Bible for what it has to say about our condition and about God's plan of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of controversy over different translations that come out, and I'm part of it. I got a few translations that, you know, I mean, I'll get up and walk out of the room if you use them, just about.
Sure.
Because they're bad.
Gotcha.
They change the Word of God around. But even some of the very liberal paraphrases, you can still read in those enough to find out how lost you are and how to be saved.
True.
And that is in most of these pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are really bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. But again, it is a supernatural, and God can, even through the bad translations and paraphrases, he can get his word through to a receptive heart.
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay. Finally, Boyce continues, if the biblical prophecies about past events have come true, and if we may therefore expect the biblical prophecies about future events to come true, then the future is bright for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are his followers. One day the rays of the sun will rise on that last and future world that has been spoken of so much by our contemporaries, but it will not be on a world devastated by an atomic holocaust, as some are predicting. It will not be a world decimated by the inevitable encroachment of worldwide famine about which others are warning. It will not be a dehumanized world composed of machines and the men who serve them. These things may come. The Bible even predicts some of them will come. But this will not be the end. The Bible teaches that there is a future beyond them when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah who came once to suffer and who will return again, will reign in righteousness and will establish a social order in which love and justice prevail. Mm-hmm. So when we get all of these prophecies about gloom and doom, then some of them will come to pass. As I said many times, tell the Christians in North Korea there's going to be one day a great tribulation. Yeah. And they will say, where do you think we live?
Mm. True.
We've got to be careful about presuming things. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a new pope elected for the Roman Catholic Church, and so far nobody's written an end times book about it, but it would not surprise me if somebody did. Try to figure out some way to say, oh, our pope from the United States, this must be a sign of the end times. No, it's a sign of the continuing to the office of the papacy.
Yeah.
Whatever you may personally hold of that. But we do have a promise. We have a promise of an eternity, and we can't really grasp eternity. I tell folks, the first recorded thing in the Bible that God created was time.
Yes.
He said, in the beginning. Before that, there was no beginning. Mm-hmm. There was only eternity, and God mm-hmm. was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At some point, he created the angels. There's been a lot of discussion about that. It's interesting speculation.
Yeah.
We have this linear time that we live in, but there's an eternity beyond that, and we will be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll either be a part of it when we die or when the end time finally comes, regardless of if anyone is right on their eschatology.
True. So
it's interesting to discuss.
It is.
At one time, you could actually get together with groups and discuss different positions mm-hmm. on eschatology and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And now folks get mad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't believe the Bible because you don't believe like I do about this thing. When is the rapture going to come? Well, it's pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, no rapture, pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill. All of those positions have been defended from people who believe everything from presentation page to maps in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that tell me? It tells me God's a whole lot bigger than we are.
That's right. And, you know, one of the coolest things to me, Jim, is people might say that he's coming back, and we can say it. We know one day he is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Nobody knows the day nor the hour.
Yeah.
Nobody knows but the Father.
Yeah, and as I've said, the guy that wrote the book, 88 Reasons Why the World Rapture Will Come in 1988, mm-hmm. he says, I know it says you can't say the day or the hour, but you can pick the year.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No.
And so we got a
no.
book. I think
no.
we've still got a copy of it in the library here that lists 2,000 years of failed prophecies of the return of Christ.
Yeah.
Everything is lined up exactly right. The only thing left to happen is the return of Christ. Oops.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No.
So, I think the phrase I'm looking for is none of your business, Jim.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But it isn't a certainty. Well, mm-hmm. it's been so long. That is the linear time we live in, not of the eternity time of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hard thing to grasp. It's like infinity.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity is somewhere inside of eternity, I think. But you look at the stars and it just keeps on going, it keeps on going, it keeps on going, and never yeah. ends. But yeah. everything has to have an end. No, in linear time, everything has to have a beginning and an end.
Yep.
Human beings have a beginning. When
yep.
you conceive, that's the beginning.
Yep.
There's not an end.
Yep.
One place or the other.
That's it.
Don't be like the agnostic that says, I'm just going to wait till I die and see where I wake up.
See where I wake up. No.
If I wake up.
No.
Because you will wake up and it won't be nice.
Mm-mm. No.
It won't be nice. So we look at the prophecies, and we look at all those, 400 and some odd prophecies, just the birth of Christ
mm-hmm.
were fulfilled in that.
Yeah.
And then we go on, and it's my contention that virtually everything recorded in Scripture that Jesus did was in some way tied into the fulfillment of prophecy.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, John the Baptizer sent his followers to say, are you really the one we would expect, or is there someone else coming? And Jesus' response was, go tell John what you see and hear.
Mm-hmm.
The lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, yeah. and the poor hear the gospel.
Yeah.
All those things were predicted in various parts of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The prophecy fulfilled, the Bible is reliable.
It's very
and
reliable.
As a matter of fact, it is reliable in Genesis 1 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gets that's the baseline, as Ken Ham points out over and over. That is the foundation for every single fact and doctrine.
Yes, it is.
In those. Mm-hmm. So what are the two areas that get attacked the most? Genesis 1-11 and end times, Daniel and Revelation mm-hmm. particularly. Mm-hmm. You spell it out this way well, but then you can also spell it out, then there's disputes
yep.
on that.
Yep.
But we're not there yet.
Not there yet.
When we get there, we will recognize prophecy by its fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
not by its anticipation. Doesn't mean you don't study it. It doesn't mean you don't say, yeah, I believe from my study that this is the way it's going to develop. And he's an evangelist, and he and his son have differing views on the way things are going to wrap up at the end.
Yeah.
He says, this is not something you break fellowship over. This is something you rejoice in the different possibilities because we're looking at the return of Christ,
mm-hmm.
not the picky little details.
That's right. And
the guys that argue, where in the book of Revelation is the rapture of the church? Well, I know a couple of places it's not, if that helps any.
Yeah.
But
That's right.
But you discuss these things with joy because you're looking at the possibility of the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he returns, I don't think anybody's going to say, oh, there he is, I'm out of here. No, they're going to say, wow.
Wow.
If we say anything, it's like the song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah.
What's it going to be like when you see Jesus?
What's it going to be like?
Sometimes I think the thing going to follow my face bawling and say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't really accept that it's going to be a glorious thing.
That's right.
And he says he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. Well, those are the tears we have here on earth, or those are the tears we have when he shows up and we realize just how beautiful and wonderful he was.
That's right.
Anyway, so think about the Lord Jesus Christ sometime during the day and remember the potential that he has.
That's right.
For you to serve him this day. Remember whose you are and how he expects us to act. The Bible tells us what God has chosen to reveal about himself and the conduct he expects of his people. God bless.
Amen. Thanks, Jim, and thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.